And I have a title for our teaching, and we're calling it Pray Lest You Enter Into Temptation. Pray Lest You Enter Into Temptation. And there are several verses that I want to look to on this this evening, but before we read some of this, it is interesting to note that this particular bit of scripture that we're going to read about, which is speaking of Jesus going into the Garden of Gethsemane there with his disciples to pray, and there he mentions the importance of prayer. And what is interesting that this account is recorded three times in the Gospels. So this tells us how important this is for us to understand and to grasp and to read. Because we have Matthew's account, we have John's account, and other accounts as well. But the first one I want to look at is from Mark 14 and verse 38, which is what I'm calling this teaching from tonight, from this verse, Mark 14 and verse 38, which he says, "Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." So that tells us something immediately, why it is important to pray. He says to watch and pray. So we find with this praying, this particular praying, that there is a watching and a praying. And he says, lest you enter into temptation. And he goes then on to say, which is the problem that we have, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And so, like most of this walk, this Christian walk, we find that our spirit is always ready. Our ideas, what we grasp, or whether we hear a teaching like this tonight, we're all ready, we get excited and built up, but we find that there is something else that becomes a problem. And we find that the flesh is weak. We find that the flesh doesn't really like the things of the spirit. Our spirit loves it, the inner man loves it, but the flesh resists. Because so often it is in the flesh that we appropriate, particularly the ministry of prayer. What do I mean by the flesh? Well, the story will tell us. It clearly tells us, because I want to really take more of this teaching from Luke's account. From Luke's account, and we'll turn to Luke 22, chapter 22, and we'll look at verses 39 through to 53. 39 through to 53. And this is Luke's account of Jesus, his final prayer, his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, accompanied with his disciples as well. And we pick it up in verse 39, and it says, and he came out and went, as he was accustomed, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." So really, before prayer has started, he has left, he has gone, and the disciples have followed him. He's gone to the Mount of Olives, and they have followed him. So this is a place of prayer, but it's interesting where it is, because we're told that the prayer that he prays here, this agonizing prayer through the night, the Mount of Olives, is also where he's going to return, and he's going to rule and reign on the earth. So the location is interesting. And so he goes to this place and he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. So he's already advising them. He's telling them what is important. He doesn't really say much more other than just pray, be in prayer, so that you don't enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, or your will be done. So here he is praying, he is interceding, and in his flesh, because he knows in the flesh those temptations. So when he refers to the disciples' pray that you enter not into temptation, he has learnt himself the power and the importance of prayer to be able to say what he has said to the disciples, because he too is going to be tempted. And he says, if it's possible, take this cup, or this cup away. And so he's saying, Father, if it be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So here he is overcoming the temptation. And he could have walked away. He could have. And not be judged for it. And not sinning, for he was sinless. But he knew he was to fulfill the Father's will. He knew what the Spirit was saying to him. And then it goes on, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So there is a real battle going on here. There is a fight. He is wrestling in the flesh with the will, just like we go through at times. We know this because, just very briefly, I want to read to you at this point in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 15 and 16, it says here, for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So that is his ministry still even now, as the high priest praying, interceding. Therefore, we're told we can come boldly into his presence. But I believe a saint can only come boldly into the presence of Almighty God if he or she is a saint who prays, who intercedes. So bearing that in mind, let's continue back in Luke's version of this, Luke chapter 22, and we're looking at verses 39 through to 53. And the angel appeared to him and strengthened him. And verse 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Why so dramatic, one may be asking himself. Well, here, Jesus, one with the Father, he is both divine and human. He has come in the likeness of man. He's divested himself from glory. He is about to be offered up, and he is to face death. In the Godhead, up until this point, there was no death. And there is about to come a death. But through this death, we see very clearly that God raised him up as the Son of Man. A new humanity, a new race, a new hope, a new glorified people, now in his likeness. Up until this point, nothing like this had ever happened before. And so we can very much appreciate what is going on here in verse 44, which you or I, even in our prayers and intercessions, our deep travailing before God, will never go through something like what is happening here. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them praying and interceding and pressing in and so on. Oh, we wish, don't we? No, it says sleeping for sorrow. In other words, they were sleepy. They couldn't keep awake. And he said unto them, why sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Here he says it again the second time. So he's already warned them. He's now telling them again, woken them up, be in prayer, lest you fall into temptation. Do they get it? Do they understand? No, there's a problem, isn't there? Flesh is getting in the way. But of course we know that that changes later on for these disciples, because what they are needing is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They need the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit in their life, which of course we were looking at on Sunday. And when he had yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they who were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, permit ye this far? And he touched his ear and healed him. And then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders who were come to him, are ye come out as against the thief with swords and clubs? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Pray lest you enter into temptation. That is what we're looking at this evening. Now, in verse 40, he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. Jesus is clearly revealing the importance of prayer. Now, in this context, he's actually referring to the disciples. He's not just speaking to Peter or to John. We know that the disciples followed him to the Mount of Olives. So what we're looking here in nature, this sort of prayer, what Jesus is referring to here, is a corporal. It's corporal prayer. It's for the disciples, not just for someone or some particular person, although, of course, it does speak to us individually, but it's also very important corporally. And it's very interesting, isn't it, what we have seen over the years to those who no longer take prayer seriously or who no longer want to come to prayer meetings or whatever it is, what happens. We see very often a pattern. What happens? They slowly begin to fall into temptation. When people go back in this walk, or they compromise, you will invariably find the neglect is in their prayer life. And this is why it is so important. This is why it is so important that we need to be in the attitude of prayer. They don't have to be long prayers, but it is a communication with God that is so paramount. But in this particular context, what we're talking about, this is the disciples praying, interceding with Jesus. They know something's up. They're aware of something that's going on. They've seen Jesus who is disturbed. And we've note that twice he mentions to them, pray lest you enter into temptation, but they're not really getting it. And this, you find, can be a problem in churches. And so often you find it is just a few, a remnant in a church who take prayer, corporal prayer, seriously. And others don't. It's very important that we pray together. This is why FGA, we have a prayer meeting as a church once a month where we come together. The opportunity is there for much prayer and intercession. It's whether you want to be part of that or not. Because if we don't, as overcomers in these last days, take prayer seriously, we are going to fall victim to temptations. And in time, those temptations will increase and get stronger. And the nature of those temptations is to draw you away, take you away from the body of Christ. In other words, apostatize, fall away. And those, sadly, who've even fallen away from our church over the years, and some I've spoken to who may have issues or problems or whatever it is, I always ask often this question, what is your prayer life? Are you praying? Do you seek the Lord in prayer? And very often I found, well, I pray when I can. Or I leave it to the wife to pray. Or excuses come up. You see? And they're going to have to answer that before the Lord. It's easier to say it before me, but how can one say that before God? When especially the Lord has given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit to aid and help us, to empower us, to be able to be faithful in prayer. That is the point. So that is the first thing that we see here. In verse 46, again he says, why sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So Jesus again appeals to the importance of prayer. But sadly, this second time, it's too late, because there's no third warning. They've already had the first, they've had the second, and the third, we actually see what they do as a result of not praying. And we'll look at that in a minute. And we can draw these parallels. We probably have seen this in our own lives, where we have neglected for season prayer, or not taken it seriously, or found other excuses as to why I should pray and so forth. I think possibly the Christian, the disciple, the one who really means business with God, will probably find that you are tempted, you are hindered more in the area of prayer than anything else. It is remarkable what can happen when you get into prayer. You will find that suddenly the phone starts ringing, and you've got several messages, and you don't normally have two or three phone calls at that day. That seldom ever happens, but you're finding as you're in prayer, intercession, it's important to pray, you're getting these phone call comes. Or you'll find people come to the doorbell rings. Or you find if there's a family, they're suddenly calling you if you're in your room or your bedroom, or their problems or whatever it is. These are all these hindrances the enemy uses to try and stop us to pray. Now, how you pray and when you pray, that is something you have to work out with your Heavenly Father. Some of us pray early in the morning. Some pray at night. Some pray midday, or whatever it is. But if you desire to pray, to intercede, you will always, always find that the Lord will prepare the way for you to do it. He does. And not only that, but he will give you the time in which to pray, to seek him, to intercede, and so on. When we are men and women of prayer, we will find that there are things that God, during the course of the day, will put on your heart to pray. I find the Lord leads me very often when I'm preparing lunch or breakfast. I might put the news on and I'm listening, and suddenly something comes out in the news, or I know that what is being said is ministering fear and doubt. And I find myself rising up in prayer, in the Spirit, coming against those lies that are coming out, trying to hinder and affect the minds of people who are listening. You will find if you are open to prayer, God will use you in the most amazing ways. He will show you that you're praying, you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. You will hear it. You will hear when the enemy is speaking through a speaker, or speaking through a situation, or whatever it would be. And God has given us authority. I've already read it in Hebrews. He says, come boldly before me. In other words, I've given you my name. Come boldly and speak my name against these forces, because he has triumphed at Calvary. The problem is we still have a lack of the victory that Christ wrought for us at Calvary. Some of us need a revelation of the cross, the finished work. And believe me, when God shows you this, you cannot wait to start to get into your prayers and intercessions and start to proclaim that name and the victory that was wrought at Calvary against the powers of darkness and those things that the enemy tries to afflict and put on us. That's what it's all about. Yes, quite rightly, Ephesians 6:12. That's what we are wrestling against, not flesh and blood. It's against these principalities, these powers, these rulers, and so on. They are spiritual in nature. They are wicked. They are devilish. And where are they found? In high places. And you bring them down from those high places through the name and through the blood of the Lamb. You need to do it over your family. You may need to do it over your children. You may need to do it in your marriage. God will show you these things. It's very, very important. Why? Lest we enter into temptation. And the biggest temptation is when you stop doing this. This is why Jesus gave the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Lead us not into temptation. There he brings it out again in the Lord's Prayer. Now, if the Lord is emphasizing this over and over again, it is very important to us. This is serious. This is possibly whether you make it into the kingdom of God or not. As our Lord would not repeat it the times that he does with regard to this. So there we are in verse 46. He appeals the importance of prayer. It's interesting that we see a remarkable difference between our Lord and the disciples. Our Lord, through his praying, his intercession, was able to fulfill his Father's will, and thank God he did, else we would not be here tonight in fellowship. A meeting like this would not exist, but he did. He accomplished, he fulfilled all the demands that the cross met in his life, that the Father raised him up into glory. But we note the difference with the disciples. Let's just remind ourselves again what happened with the disciples. Let's take it from verse 47. "And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him." So one of the disciples who doesn't pray has entered into temptation. We are told the devil entered into him and he betrays him with a kiss. He hands him over. And of course we know what happened afterwards to Judas. He went out and he hung himself. He did his own execution. That's what suicide fundamentally is. You execute yourself. And then we go on, verse 49. "And when they were about him, saw it would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword?" They don't know what spirit they are of. See the flesh, the mind, see what fear is doing here. "And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." The Lord doesn't get involved in any of this, but they do. And Jesus answered and said, "Permit ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. So there we are. Because he didn't enter into temptation, he prayed it through, he's ready to be handed over, he's still healing. He's still ministering. And he's about to be handed over and shortly be crucified. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders who were come to him, "Are ye come out against a thief with swords and clubs?" And he goes on, "I was daily in the temple preaching and everything." And we note then the disciples fled. And in verse 54, Peter follows afar off. What happened to the disciples? Exactly what Jesus warned would happen. Lest you fall into temptation. And that is fundamentally what happens to us if we don't pray. If we don't take prayer seriously, we will compromise. We compromise because fear causes us to do so. And so they fell away. They had fallen back. They had fallen away from following the Lord. In many ways, they backslid. That's what was going on there. But we know that after the Lord is raised, we see how wonderful the love and mercy of God draws them back. You see, that is God's love. And if you know God's love, and you're aware of that love, and you've experienced that love, and those disciples had to experience that love, else Jesus would not have prayed that their faith would fail not. There was still something there that when they saw that the Lord had risen, they still wanted to follow and go after him. That is the mercy and grace of God. And this is why we don't give up. We believe in these last days before the Lord Jesus comes, we believe that there will be some prodigal sons that will return. I do believe that. Because that's the mercy and grace of God. And that is why it's important that we pray. We pray one for another. We pray for those that once used to embrace, once used to be with us in fellowship, who loved the Word, who loved Jesus, who worshipped and praised him. And suddenly it seemed as though they changed. We can still hold on in our prayers and intercessions. Why do we do that? Lest we fall into temptation. And what would the temptation be there? Is to neglect, to forget about them and leave them to their own peril. Well, so what does prayer really do for us then? That's the question. What does prayer really do? I've already been touching on up to now what prayer does, but let's break it down into four areas as to how we see prayer, the importance of it, not giving up, not falling to these temptations. Well, firstly, without prayer, temptation causes us to be in control. Temptation without prayer makes us in many ways independent of God. In other words, I'm not really in faith as I should be. I like being in control. I like being in control of my life, my destiny. I like to plan my future and so on. And that is a clear indication of a saint falling into temptation. they're no longer really praying as they should. Because if you're in prayer, you will find that God wants you to trust him, to believe him, to receive all his promises. And you're going to find how he's going to deliver you and set you free from the spirit of this age and depending and relying upon the arm of the flesh. Because we know to rely upon the arm of the flesh is vexing, it's confusion, it's bondage, it's man's feeble attempts. But God has a higher level, a higher path for each of us. And so we need to be men and women of prayer so that we don't fall into those temptations of relying always on the arm of the flesh. That is a very good reason. Some are battling. I don't know why I don't seem to have the faith for this. I don't seem to be able to overcome this. I seem to battle doubts and unbelief in my mind. It could well be because prayer is the problem. You're not in prayer. You're not in communication with God. You see, the wonderful thing about prayer with God is that you can tell him these areas where you're battling. You can tell him if you have unbelief. It seems so difficult to believe for my healing. I can believe for other people to be healed, but I can't believe for myself. Well, there you are. There's something you talk out with God. Or you find out what is the root of the problem. Or what he's saying to you. And many times this sort of thing requires prayer. Now, God doesn't always immediately speak. Sometimes we get delays because he's waiting to see, are you going to take this seriously? Are you going to continue to be in prayer, to come before me? Are you seeking my face or are you seeking my hand? See, God tests us in that, to what our hearts, our motives are, you see. But we don't give up, and that is the whole point. The second thing as to what prayer does for us. Secondly, temptation causes us eventually to sin. That is the nature of temptations. The temptation is not sin. It's giving in to the temptation that eventually results in sin. And there's the difference. And we know that with Peter. Peter sinned. We assume that that was Peter that picked up that sword and cut off the captain's ear. We don't have complete proof about it, but a lot think that that was Peter. Or whoever it was, whether Peter or whatever disciple, they had sinned badly what they had done there. Why? Because they had fallen into temptation. They hadn't heeded what the Lord was saying. They just didn't see it as important enough. It wasn't what they wanted to hear. It was probably getting on the time we know it is because the Lord prayed through the night. Well, most of us go to sleep through the night. So sleep had become more important to their mind and thinking. So, you know, listening to the Lord twice saying, don't enter into temptation, wasn't probably the forefront thing. They were more thinking about, well, it's time to have some sleep. We probably had a busy day. We got up early or whatever it is. We always make 100 excuses as to why we can't pray. And so that is our problem. We don't always listen to what God is saying through the word. That's why I always encourage people to have a little note a notepad, and a pen. And sometimes you just need to jot down something, or something will come out of the message and you're aware you need to talk to the Lord about this. And by writing it down, it jogs your memory. In other words, then you can bring that before God in prayer and bring it before him, because it's important. Otherwise, I could fall into temptation. We all of us, brothers and sisters, need to be on our guard with this, how this can work. All of us. So there we see what happened to Peter, or certainly one of the disciples. They fell into sin, and that's what temptations will do. And thirdly, temptation is caused when we don't listen. And so what was happening here to these disciples, they weren't really listening. If they were, they would have been in prayer, praying with Jesus, standing with him in prayer, which is what you do corporately. When we pray together, we're all praying together, we're standing together, we are believing. That is where the power is in the church for prayer. But some don't listen. And so temptation then comes in. That is why the Lord brought this out in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from temptation. We have to listen to that. One could pray a very good prayer with regard to temptation. One could pray, Lord, I've heard about temptation. Help me. Give me a godly fear toward this. Whatever it takes, always keep me awake, listening, active, taking seriously everything you say, because I know in my flesh I'm weak. Now, if you pray a prayer like that to God, do you think God has not heard you? Why, you know he has. You don't even have a problem believing for that, because the faith is there for such a confession. That is what ultimately God wants to hear from us. And when we start seeking God in that way, you can start to have that boldness, that confidence about you, that God has not only heard you, but he's going to work, he's going to give his angels charge over you as well as he did over Jesus, to keep you from those temptations that eventually will cause sin. It's a lot easier than we think this walk is, but it's our not listening that makes it so much harder. So that is the third area. And the fourth and finally, temptation is down to God's love, mercy and forgiveness. We know this because I've already touched on it earlier. The disciples returned after their sin. They're running away. We know that because they were also in the upper room at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell, and they were empowered by the Spirit. And that is what God does with us. Some of us have run away, and the Lord, in his mercy, has brought us back. And very often, the Lord has burdened someone to get in prayer and intercession. As I say so often, but I will say it again in passing, most of us are here tonight in this room because somebody prayed. prayed for us. So prayer is very powerful before God. It is very important in the house of God. And the reason being is because it keeps us from these temptations. That is why I often ask, brothers and sisters, that you pray for me, for the word, that the word that I preach will keep in purity, will not be defiled, or wrong doctrines, deceiving spirits, or whatever it is. It's absolutely important that we pray for the word that we are receiving, because it is our spiritual food. Some ministers that go off the rails, it could be, we blame the minister, and yes, he is wrong, but it could be because saints in that church couldn't be bothered to pray for him. They didn't see it as important enough, the manner that they were receiving. So we shouldn't always be too quick to blame a minister. It may well have been the church that helped cause that. This is why we pray one for another. We pray for those that go through trials, those that are battling in the physical or whatever. The Holy Spirit, he will show us. He will burden us. He will lead us and guide us. He will show us how to pray over a situation. That's why he has come as the comforter, to move alongside, to teach us these things. This is what he's doing tonight. The Holy Spirit is teaching us tonight how to pray and intercede. He's giving us more light. But what is the warning behind all of this? Pray lest ye enter into temptation. And finally, let's look at a psalm to finish off our teaching tonight. Psalm 55 and verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. The psalmist has great confidence. Because why? Evening, morning, noon, I pray. And he says, God hears me. Brothers and sisters, my prayer tonight for this teaching is that it will teach you to pray, to be in the attitude of prayer, to be always ready to pray, so that you know in your heart and spirit, you have the confidence that God has heard you. It has been answered. And you can come to that place. Don't just think it's just for a few, or it's just what you read in the scriptures. That can be also your experience as you seek God in prayer. Because if we don't, we enter into temptations. And no one wants that. Certainly not now, as we're so near to the coming of the Lord. None of us want that. We want to be able to triumphantly enter in, because God has gone before and he's prepared the way for you and I to make it in to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight. We thank you for the word. But Lord, we ask that this word that we have heard, you will make it reality. You will make it life to us. Maybe we need to seek God. Maybe we need to take some things we've heard tonight before you in prayer. Move in our hearts, Lord. Move us, Father, that we will be found faithful in praying and interceding. Let none of us fall into temptations, but deliver us from them, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you tonight. I thank you, Father, for our fellowship and for bringing all the saints into the room. I pray, Lord, that you will bless, preserve, and always keep them. Father, give your angels charge over them. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. And may they be lights in this world of darkness, we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I see that there is a request coming up for prayer. That's for Pyrrha, is it, I believe? I thought I saw something come up through Adelmina. Yes, okay. Right, yes, I did see it. Yeah, right. Okay, is there anything particular that we need to pray for our sister, or is it just a general prayer? You have explained. You PM'd me, did you? Right. Let me see if I can find you. I did see something come up, but wait a minute. I'll go through to you and see what you've put there. Right. Right, okay. Right. We're going to pray for our sister. And we're dealing with depression. And they're suffering with depression as well. And we know the nature of depression, and we know where this comes from. And for the younger daughter, and self-harming. Right. Now, God expects us to play our part, and that is to trust him, to walk with him, and we've heard it tonight in the teaching, and he will move on our behalf. And also for our family. And we certainly can believe for our family and for their salvation, because we know it's in Scripture that God will save our loved ones. How he does that, that's the sovereign work of God. But he will do that. Now, we'll lift this before the Lord for our sister Adelmina, and we will go as the Holy Spirit leads, and I believe that we are all of us in agreement. We take authority over the powers of darkness, which is trying to afflict and oppress. Hallelujah. Mighty Lord, thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. We thank you, Father, you have risen. You are glorified. Father, you have triumphed over the powers of darkness, and you have given us your wonderful name, the name of Jesus, for you have said all power and dominion is given unto that name. And you have also said that we can wield that name over the powers of darkness, and even Satan bows to that name. And we come against you, Satan, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, and we come against this oppression over our sister and over her family. And we come against this self-harming. We come against depression and rejection. We come against witchcraft. And we break your hold now, Satan, in the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus sets them free. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you that Jesus is risen. And Lord, I pray that you will give your angels charge now over this family and over Adelmina. And that, Lord, their hearts and lives will turn to you. Father, I pray that you will keep them from the evil one, from temptation. Help them, Father, to overcome. Help them to overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. Lord, put within their hearts, seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added, which includes our deliverance. And so we thank you, Lord, you have done this now for your glory, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.